I'm Andrew.
I'm Scott drinking in, man.
And I'm Steve.
Oh, yeah.
And this is Weekly Geek Speak.
Got you, Rue.
Are you back? Who's this? Wait a minute.
That show, though. What? That show was really good.
It was, wasn't it?
I got so many compliments.
We did. All, this, sounds all those guests. Right? It was brilliant.
Yeah. Hello! It's 2017. The year is done. We haven't been exploded, although we nearly got there. What have you lost?
Oh, Walter. Okay, is it 2017?
Yeah. It is. It the is. The 2nd of January.
It is, definitely. Oh, I New remember. Year's I remember
we
now.
So drunk on New Year, we forgot.
Do you remember that thing I did?
Yeah.
No.
No, I don't do anything.
Got a picture of it.
Well, welcome to Weekly Geek Speak. Chatting about all your geeky needs. I don't know.
That's okay.
Well, we try.
Well, you can we find us. If you've stumbled across us, you might like to subscribe to us if you do enjoy us. And we're on iTunes, Spreaker, Stitch, and Podcastland. And if you like to like write things down in a short sentence and read other people's short sentence to things, maybe you can go on Twitter, Weekly Geek Speak. Oh. That's who we are on Twitter. If you like to scroll through thousands of your
is that what Twitter is?
Yeah.
I thought it were where people exchange bird songs.
Well,
I was like, oh, that's really good for the ornithology industry.
Weeple.
Oh, okay.
that's the one where beetles tweet.
Oh, that's entomology. Yeah. What's it called? Enter the dragon.
That's the one. If you like to scroll through endless reams of your friends, things that you don't care about, and often lots of them aren't your friends, they're just people you bumped into, and for some reason you have to add them on this awful website called Facebook, we're on there, Weekly Geek Speak. And also, if you like to look at pictures of all kinds of things in a voyeuristic fashion, there's dirty sites for that. But you can also go on Instagram.
I thought that was an app for getting weed.
Right. And yeah. Back and on fire.
Cool. Never lost a beat. Never lose a beat.
It's still up there, that link that you can go on and vote for the awards.
Ah,
in 2 weeks'
link.
Time, we will be doing our awards show. So you can vote on there and also enter your email at the end. Share it and enter your email at the end and you might be in our prize draw.
Ooh.
It's so cold I can see my breath.
I know. That's just your soul escaping.
Oh, okay. Do you want me to put the heater on?
All right. I kind of like freezing
you
to death.
You like freezing to death, that's fine. I'm cooking potatoes downstairs.
You are, with rosemary.
With rosemary.
My favourite herb.
Your favourite herb.
Yes. I don't know why you invited around just to cook your potatoes.
Well, someone's got to keep an eye on the oven.
I'm getting under this blanket.
Oh, yeah, let's do that. Actually, it's Christmas.
Here we are.
Or
it's
New,
not, it's
New,
Year.
New Year's Eve.
New Year's.
It's definitely New Year's. It's
definitely the 2nd of January.
All right, guys. How did you have a nice Christmas?
No.
No, I know you didn't.
Did you guys?
Yeah, it was nice. Nice and relaxed. Lots of food, lots of drink.
So I read volumes 1 through 9, Sandman.
That's good. So he's half sand, half man, all cop.
It's the chronicles of that awful villain in Spider-Man 3.
Yeah, it's about time he had more. Flint Marker. It's about time he had his own miniseries.
Mm. Gotta say, Neil Gaiman's Sandman was recommended to me and has been recommended to me over the years, but I finally had it like, no, you need to read this.
Need to.
And I think that was partially me saying that to me.
Get it read.
But it's absolutely spectacular. I love it. It's from that era of Vertigo comics, which was so good, though, isn't it? Because you had Hellblazer, you had Preacher, you had... Fables, they all came out in that kind of time. Yeah. And it's definitely up there. I don't know why I haven't broached it before. But it tells the story of the King of Sleep.
Yes.
The dreams. And then you find out all about him. And it gets a really rich tapestry. And it is very fable-y. It's like Fables, but it's a bit better than Fables, I think. I'm enjoying it more than Fables. Okay. I'm about 6 or 7 into Fables. But Sandman is absolutely fantastic. And I advise anyone who hasn't read The Sandman to pick up a copy and read it. Mm. It even has a picture of Batman in the first one. It surprised me. the first volume. I mean, it doesn't stick there, but it definitely cements itself in the DC Universe. You have a little visit from John Constantine. and also the Justice League. What I really like about it, which is definitely down to Neil Gaiman's kind of story writing, is how you get this one brilliant story, and then about three stories later, you'll get a minor character from that story that links to that story, and it's got this beautiful... It's like a tapestry.
Yeah.
The best thing, though. It's done so well. And also, you know, often when I'm reading comics, you get to those filler issues. Every, like, two volumes is a filler issue, which tells backstories, tells other stories, tells things. Yeah. And I normally am like... And I think it's because I'm so eager to read the main storyline that I go, no bothered.
There's that famous one in Preacher when it's just all his grandma, and then you're just like, oh, fuck off.
But I actually, when I reread them, I appreciate them more. But actually, I love the ones in The Sandman because you know that they will influence something that's already happened or something that will happen, and it's beautiful. I also like his family, but I don't want to get into things too much because you can read it yourselves. It's just great.
Nice.
It's been on my radar all my life. It's just having money and time and that precious window of opportunity sometimes, isn't it?
Yeah, I need to revisit it. I think I was 15, 16 when I last read it, so it's been a while.
So do you read them all? I think it was 12, isn't it?
No, I never read. I read the first few. It's whatever they had in the library at the time, and Sandman was one of the big ones I used to get in, so I just read them until I moved away. Yeah.
So, now let's move along. Unless you have any Christmas stories.
Well, I'm talking to Neil Gaiman, I read Amanda Palmer's The Art of Asking, finally got around to it. Fantastic book, just written by her, all about her life and how...
How's that relate to Neil Gaiman? No, just
she's married to Neil Gaiman.
Oh, is she?
Yes.
That's amazing.
So it follows her... So it follows her sort of rise to fame and how she sort of... All the things that she's done to get where she is and her Kickstarter and how she got into that and how she met Neil Gaiman and... Fascinating book, had me in tears at a few places. Really sort of interesting, fascinating
Gaiman
story.
Or Gaiman? I never know.
Don't know, I say Gaiman. Neil Gaiman.
I like Gaiman. Because he sounds like his own particular breed of equal opportunity superhero.
Yeah. But yeah, that's a really good read. And I read Paper Girls. Volume 1.
How was
which
that?
Was absolutely fantastic. One I just picked up when we were in London, and the guy in the comic shop went, oh, it's really good, that. I said, oh, okay. I had my Zelda hat on, and he went, oh, it's a bit like, I feel like the 80s sort of stuff. He was like, yeah, you'll be in there. But it's, yeah, Halloween 1988, four 12-year-old newspaper girls uncover the story of a lifetime. And it's that sort of 80s references, little 80s nods, and it's sort of Stand By Me, Goonies-esque. It's great. I've ordered the second one, which should be here tomorrow. So... Yeah, really good. Well worth a read. It was a 9 out of 10. It was really... I picked it up and cover to covered it.
Cool.
Yeah.
I just read Chris Packett's and various drafts of my own suicide notes. And then, Joe, when you write one, I don't know if you've ever written one, but your punctuation's fine, but then you go, oh, is that a good closer? Do you know what I mean? Because you want that wry smile and then that devastated cry afterwards. And then, like, it's never good enough, is it? And that's the only reason I'm here.
I always kind of, it's like that when you write something and then you think that's brilliant and you go away
and then you come back
and you're like, this is shit.
That's what I mean, and that's every day.
You go drafting and redrafting.
It's just like, what? It's so hard, man. I'm joking. I'm not being insensitive to people who have committed suicide. I admire them. I made that worse.
Scott's usual Robert Ross of joke.
Yeah, when I dig myself in, dig myself out, think it'll be funnier to dig myself back in again, and then the circle continues until...
That's his life. Similar to writing a suicide. we normally do listeners' questions. We do have a couple, but we'll leave them to this week, The Geeks Have Spoken. Because it's time for us to be very sad, because the...
Yes.
The ball-kicking year that was 2016 gave us a couple more nut kicks on the way. We can't not talk about Carrie Fisher.
Yeah.
Carrie Fisher, Princess Leia, sadly, left this mortal coil and went to a galaxy far, far away.
She did.
It's very sad. We thought that she'd pull through. She had a heart attack on Christmas Eve on an aeroplane. She managed to get back to her family, which is really lovely.
Yeah.
But unfortunately... A couple of days later, she left us.
She did.
Princess Leia, Yeah, this one actually really affected me because I don't think you quite realised, but some people have just been a massive part of your like pop culture life.
Yeah,
no, Star Wars, it has always punctuated my life, and I went through years like not that bothered and things. I went through loads of years like moving away, but I always came back to Star Wars.
Yeah, definitely.
She was my princess. You can have your Disney princesses. Mm. She technically is now, I guess. But
yeah.
It really was sad. Mm. But lots of people have been saying and tweeting and things like how much she did for mental health as well, how much she did for beauty and image as well. She made some quite brilliant comments about...
Really bold
stuff. Everyone going on about, she looks old when she was in episode 7. Well, yes, I'm a 60-year-old woman. Exactly. Of course I look old.
She was a really canny and acerbic woman who like would just say how it is to the point of people going, "Oh, didn't expect that from Princess Leia."
Yeah.
But that's part of what made her. But yeah, I can't. I mean, the pop culture juggernaut is devastating. It's just, and then, and especially because, like, from a slightly selfish point of view, like, she was still part of these new trilogy of films, and then it's like you feel like you've been slightly robbed of a good cathartic goodbye for a main franchise. But she touched all our lives.
She did.
Just a shame. Especially, it seemed to be a double kick blow because I just felt like she was going to pull through. Do you know when you hear someone stay and you just go, thank God, yeah.
There were such lovely images of like people are drawn and things of hope and everything.
Yeah. But the thing is, I watched her in Rogue One and she's never looked better, so I just didn't see it coming.
Brilliant.
she'd finished filming all of her scenes for episode eight, which came out.
Hopefully.
It's been released. But yeah, so hopefully we'll see her.
She'll get the proper farewell she deserves.
Definitely,
Hopefully, yeah.
Yeah.
Also, got to mention Debbie Reynolds as well. Her mother sadly passed away.
84.
Another one who kind of sits with me because Singing in the Rain is part of my kind of growing up.
What
as well.
A fucking week for that family.
I know.
Must be heartbreaking.
It's the day after.
Well, it was heartbreaking. Debbie Reynolds. Who very sadly passed as well. She was 83. I tweeted this morning the good morning, and the fact that she did that film against two of the greats of kind of Hollywood at the time, with Donald O'Connor and Gene Kelly, and stood shoulder to shoulder, and
really
very much that film is about how strong she is as a woman, how she's not going to take it, and in those days. When there's some funny lines in that which show what it was like in the times, but her character was really like, I'll do this one last time for you, but I'm not doing this. It was a really powerful performance from her, and it's just sad.
It is
really, when we lose, especially around Christmas. It was good.
It's a real shame.
It is sad, but I always think the most appropriate thing to do, and I know we've had to do it a lot this year in particular, but the most appropriate thing to do is just take a moment to appreciate how they've touched your life, honour them in your own small way, and then just they'll always be there.
Mm.
She's like, we've been robbed of potential ways for her to add to how she touched our lives, but
yeah.
What she's done, it's made an indelible impact on a few generations now, and that's not going away anytime soon. So you just honour him, raise a glass.
Hurrah.
Put Star Wars on.
Definitely. I did as well.
Yeah.
I did.
And Blues Brothers.
Of course.
The uncredited mystery woman that just keeps showing up with a rocket launcher.
I love her.
She's incredible.
Yeah.
I didn't realise today as well, she's in Hook. Uncredited as a couple kissing on the bridge.
You're doing it, Peter.
Yeah. Drop
You're
dead
doing it. You're doing it, Peter.
I Drop Dead Fred as well. She was in.
Oh, yeah, of course.
She was great in Drop Dead Fred. But
She's
also in Jane's Eye with Bob Strike Back.
She is the nun, isn't she?
Scream 3, The Burbs.
Well, she was an actress,
I know, but I just listed little cameos and things. But
a later part of her career was mostly spent like people fan casting her, but there's no shame in that whatsoever.
No,
cause if I made it, I'd be fan casting her because she seemed like a wonderful woman.
Shall we do a little step from Star Wars to Star Wars then and do our Rogue One review?
I don't like this. I like our links to be tedious at best.
Okay.
But these are quite seamless and I don't like them.
I'm doing such a great job.
I could chuck a birthday in if you want. just to sort of sidetrack.
Yeah, but that's still linked to death in that sort of yin and yang way.
Rogue One hit our faces. We didn't have time to review it because we've had a hectic Christmas.
We did.
But we've all seen it. We all crowded, well, me and Scott, I loved that, but we went to the cinema on the day it was released, and I was sat, and for a moment, before the film came on, I was sat on my own at 1 a.m. in the cinema for the biggest release on release night, and I was like, this is really weird.
So, no friends in high places, or very low places.
So, but, yeah, I've spoken a lot, so I'm going to hand it over to, I think I'm going to pass a plate of cheese to Steve.
Ooh. Is that an expression?
Yes, now.
What does it mean? Could you use it in a different sentence?
I was having some sherry, so I handed the plate of cheese across to Ronald, who also partook in some camembert with me.
No, but that's using it in a very literal sense. But
well, you wanted to use it, but you used it. You got what you wanted.
Goodness sake.
Fair enough.
A plate of cheese can only be used by talking about a Star Wars prequel, which isn't awful.
Alrighty.
Or is it?
I don't know. Let's
find out. Do such a thing exist? I don't know yet.
Geek speaks with you.
Ooh.
That's the new jingle.
Rogue One. I didn't watch the trailer on purpose for this one, and I've started not.
Did you watch it accidentally?
No. Although it does piss me off when you go to the cinema and you've avoided a trailer. You go to the cinema and it comes on and you try and hide.
Because they have to bring you back to the cinema for future installments.
But you should know going to the cinema that it's going to be trailers.
You have to hide from them. I'm going to start going in. At what time does the film start?
Right.
I'm missing the trailers. But anyway, I digress.
I like it, the idea he stood outside the cinema with his arm folded, tapping his pocket. People walking around. Don't go in this trailer.
Yeah. More cars.
I was alright through those
cars. If I want to see King Kong, I'll see King Kong. I don't want to see 3 minutes King Kong now.
Well, that was the one that annoyed me.
I came for car movie. Adverts and it's it just really trailers.
But anyway.
It's a good Kong trailer. You should watch it.
It was good. But yeah,
Rogue One.
I really enjoyed it. I thought it was a fantastic. It was a heist movie. It felt a bit like Firefly. It was sort of a heist movie, westerny type film with the Star Wars happening around it. And every time they made a little reference to the Star Wars, it was you either got it or you didn't. And it was just lovely. It was really well done. It was a really interesting story. It put to rest a few of the sort of things that happen in the 4, 5, and 6 that people have always debated over. It kind of went, well, this is why it happened, this is how it happens. And I thoroughly loved it. I thought it was brilliant. I thought the robot was amazing. I thought in the first bit, I thought, is it going to be really irritating and just jokes? But I thought they punctuated it really well. And just a genuinely great entry film into the Star Wars universe. I'm more, please.
FYI, this is a spoiler-free one, and Steve's done a good job there. We will do a spoiler autopsy in about 3 weeks.
Yeah.
Or 2 weeks. No, 3 weeks. It'll have to be 3 weeks just because I've decided.
It seems very scientific.
So it would make a good slot in the content on a second week.
Nice.
Wink, wink. So Scott, what was your views? A Star Wars story, news one.
I think it's a great fan film.
Cool. I thought
it's like takes all these elements from the original trilogy and the prequels and various like offshoot canon entries, and it creates a prequel story that would satisfy fans. I think the last 30 minutes are thrilling, and I think that it's enjoyable, and I think it's good, and it works off a lot of imagery. I don't think the Empire or the Imperials have ever seemed as threatening or overarching, which I really loved. And just seeing all this iconography played out in different ways in this modern setting, they were all my favourite parts of Episode 7. Just seeing all these things I grew up with, larger than life, sort of army with all its various units and machines and tanks and ships used in different ways in a more modernised way.
Yeah.
And you see that in spades in Rogue One in a darker thing. I do think that it's a bit ramshackle, especially at the first half of it. a bit like chuck these people together, people care, probably, maybe, I don't know. And then people's arcs are a bit like, we need her to go from A to B, and I'm not going to explain it. But, so it's, I don't think it's a perfect film, but I think it's incredibly enjoyable, and it's a great fan film for Star Wars. I think if you like Star Wars, you will have no choice but to really like Rogue One.
Cool.
I really enjoyed it. It was fun. I went to the cinema with my friend Scott.
Yeah.
Watched it with me. I like R2-D2. Is he in it? Beep, I don't beep, know. Beep, beep,
beep, beep. He you was
find in it. Out yourself.
Spoiler.
I think I generally agree. It was quite joyous going into the Star Wars universe that we thoroughly know. This isn't 30 years before or 30 years after. This is a few weeks, a few days, a few moments before what we experience in A New Hope. And it was that side of it, that Star Wars side, and how to make it feel like it should, really worked. A lot of the special effects really felt right. Yeah. I love the fact that people press buttons. I don't honestly. I was talking to James about this. Like, isn't it great? Now you get all this like kind of visuals where things come out and they're going, ooh, and pressing things in sci-fi movies. So this, you're actually pulling levers and knobs and plop, plop, plop. You know, it's cool.
Yeah. I agree.
I like
all the mechanisms are the same. Like one of the robots uses a thing and it goes. It's a sort of like that R2-D2 uses in all the sort of close-up the shots. And it's that. It's the same.
I like Star Wars technology like that, because all their technology, every planet should be so incredibly advanced, but it's used in such a like Wild West. I happen to have this bit of tech way.
Yeah.
That I don't know. I've always loved that, and I don't know why. It makes no real sense, but it does at the same time.
While the aesthetic and all that was pretty cool, and I felt liked it, and that was good. I did have a few issues, which I can't really speak about until the spoiler cast. I think there is some glaring problems. I think you kind of touched on some of the character arcs. I didn't feel very connected with some of the characters, and that side, that joyous kind of Star Wars side, maybe have lacked in that sense. But it wasn't a happy tale, and that's fine.
There's a lot of stuff online about all the bits that were missing and all this.
That's interesting.
All
that first taken trailer and how different it is from that.
Definitely.
But I think they might have done that on purpose.
I think they did.
Because do you remember Gareth Edwards with Godzilla?
I was saying this to Simon. Yeah. Gareth Edwards did that with Godzilla.
He purposely chucked some misleading shots in there.
Yeah.
I think that just might be his... Same way Nolan's got his trailers that don't tell you any plot.
Yeah.
Gareth Edwards might be...
He's filmed an extra
We'll keep
bit.
You guessing with trailers, which I like that. I like directors having weird approaches to trailers.
I thought exactly the same. But it was still very interesting a move. I will probably chew this down a little bit further. It's somewhere between a 7 and 8 for me. I can't quite place it.
I think it's as strong as episode 7... But episode 7 is more joyous, and this is more fan servicey. So there's a great debate to be had in which is better. But there's a lot of people claiming it's better than Empire Strikes Back, and then people need to wait a few years and check themselves, take themselves out of the hype, and just think about that for a second. Because one's playing with imagery created by the other one.
I'd confidently say, for me personally, episode 7. Just maybe nosed it up ahead of Jedi for me. This one, there may be an argument for it being above Jedi, but I'm not quite sure. I don't think it is.
I can accept. Everyone's. It don't really matter, but everyone's sort of hierarchy of Star Wars films is different. But if Empire and New Hope aren't your top two, I don't think you appreciate Star Wars properly.
Mm. Each to their own. Some people like Phantom Menace, and if they want to, they can. It's not allowed in my house.
Yeah.
Well, you know. Anyway, we're going to give some news in a bit, and then we're going to listen to what you said, and that's it. So, bye.
What?
If you were born in the 18, the 18... The lyrics, aren't they?
The 18 theme goes really well into Indiana Jones.
Yeah. Yeah.
Keep going.
Nice.
Which then goes really well
into any other John Williams game.
Yeah. Superman.
It's time for the news. It's my turn.
Stan Lee. Happy birthday, Stan Lee. 94
years old.
Who's Stan
Lee? What's his full name?
Stan Lee. He's 94. Just,
what's
just
his full name? It could be any Stan Lee.
He doesn't have a surname. He's called Stan Lee.
That's not like Madonna.
Yeah. He invented Man Spider.
Yeah. I've not heard of that.
No.
Cool.
Moving on.
Stan Lee has had his hand in creating a whole universe.
Yeah.
And he should be honoured.
He should.
But he gets no shortage of acclaim.
He doesn't.
No.
But praise be also to Steve Ditko, Jack Kirby, Joe Simon, et al.
Who's et al? Is that like Superman's like uncle?
Yeah. His uncle who liked to cut off suggestions early.
Yeah.
He's quite known for it.
Wes Anderson has announced his new movie called Isle of Dogs. It's a stop-motion animated movie about dogs that was starring Bill Murray, Bryan Cranston, Tilda Swinton, Scarlett Johansson, Jeff Goldblum, Edward Norton and Yoko Ono.
Did you see the little clip?
Yeah.
Edward Norton sticking for
that. It's really cute. The movie's going to be set in Japan and follows a boy's odyssey
in
Japan. It follows a boy's odyssey in search of his dog. It's going to be released sometime in 2018.
Well, you know, I enjoyed Fantastic Mr. Fox for its Wes Anderson quirks and idiosyncrasies.
Have we had this news? Or are we talking about
the cast, the clip, and the full cast been announced? Yeah, because I thought that right.
I know it'll be quirky. I know it'll be interesting. I know it'll have a good cast. I know I'll watch it. So
definitely,
they're all.
Lots of the ones on the list were well seasoned Wes Anderson muses.
Definitely,
Bill Murray, Owen Wilson. Yeah. Luke Wilson.
Yeah.
It was Totoro in there as well.
Yes.
Yeah.
Totoro.
Yeah, that
your neighbor.
That giant
troll.
Yeah.
Troll.
Yeah.
My neighbor.
The DC Rebirth has taken Batman to a darker place. The current writer Tom King returns Batman to his tragic core with a new origin story steeped in suicide. The Batman Rebirth also has a good boy called Good Boy. He sees a return of a companion that made the debut in Batman in 1955, a German shepherd named Ace, who had to wear a mask of his own so as not to be connected with Bruce Wayne, which made me chuckle.
Ace the Bat Hound.
The Bat Hound, yeah, appears in the new holiday special.
Yeah. Have you ever watched Crypto the Superdog?
Yeah.
Yes, Ace the Bat Hound features prominently in that show. And Streaky the Cat.
Mm-hmm.
Who does that belong to?
Streaky belongs to no man. he's like the Flash. He's fast. He's a fast cat.
Is it called Streaky because he like you know when like dogs rub the bum on the carpet and leave a line?
Yeah, probably. Like, horrible streak.
Streaky.
Oh,
Streaky.
Not again.
I've always liked Ace the Bat Hound. But I like
you
him.
Stay this side of the lane. I stay this side of the lane.
But I like him being incorporated in weird and cool ways, like in Batman Beyond, aka Batman the Future, when Ace the Bat Hound's just the dog Bruce Wayne has in his elderly years.
Mm.
Shit like that. It was like, but I won't bring him back in any serious fashion.
No.
just as a nod.
What about Batman's Origins story?
Yeah.
Where he is
we just had it. We literally just had it in Zero Year.
I personally believe that I don't see enough of Batman's origin.
Yeah.
Between Year One, Zero
I'm
Year,
still unsure as to what it is.
But like,
got a pearl necklace,
something like that. Yeah.
But between Frank Miller's Year One, between Frank Miller's Year One, Scott Snyder's Zero Year, and Batman Begins, the lid has to be closed for a while. But I know I don't. It's becoming that thing everyone feels you have to do if they write Batman. It's like, you don't.
No.
You don't really, no.
Just leave it. Do something different.
You know what? His parents are dead. He's a bit sad about it. He's got issues. He likes to represent a bat.
Like, we get leather. It.
Can I see him punch a fucking clown in the face?
Yeah. More. The Walking Dead Season 7 has recently... recently reached its mid-season break. Season premiere achieved record ratings for AMC for the first episode, but viewing figures quickly dropped off for this season.
It's
struggled to maintain interest of people, but it continues to be a huge success in TV and print. Robert Kirkman recently weighed in on fans' concerns the show is catching up / may overtake the comic, and he said it took 6 seasons to get us to issue 100. It won't take us 6 years to get to 200, and that will take us to season 12 and we'll still be ahead of the show. The most recent issue has been number 161. The TV show's reached around 111, so it is catching it. Season 8's been commissioned. America's longest running fantasy series is Supernatural, which is currently on season 12. So will Walking Dead stand the test of time, do we think?
I like that the show deviates from the comic anyway. So they deviate so much, I don't feel like it's a problem that if it catches up, because it just takes inspiration. Mm-hmm. And a bit like Scott Pilgrim book wasn't finished when Scott Pilgrim came out, and Kick-Ass, a very similar thing.
Game of Thrones created, as well now.
So to make up for that, they just created a different ending with the creator's input. So he'll just do that, I imagine, if it catches up. And I don't want 12 seasons of it, because whilst the comic's designed to almost be like a supernatural soap opera that never ends, as grim as it is, the show has to end at some point.
Yeah.
Because once, like, Andrew Lincoln's gone, you've got no hook, you've got no central thing that's been present throughout, arguably Daryl, whatever.
Yeah.
But, like... So they should have, if they got to 10, I'd be like, when's it ending?
Right.
Okay. And so, but I feel like that about Supernatural, but I don't watch it, to be fair.
No, I've not even seen it. But, yeah.
Yeah, I agree with Scott. I think the comic... comic's a weird one. I enjoy it, and I keep up to date to a point, and then I'll buy 5 volumes and catch up again.
Right, okay.
And then I won't read it for 3 years, and then I'll buy 5 volumes and catch up again. But it's a weird one that I, when I took the step into alternative kind of comics that weren't superhero back when I was like 17, with that, I'm pretty sure that were recommended to me. So it has been with me like over 10 years now.
Yeah,
but I just kind of, The Walking Dead is part of my comic reading history, don't I?
But it is literally like a soap opera where you just pick it up and it's never going to end, and that can be quite relentless sometimes. And you I don't think you can do that with the show.
No.
Like, just information you've given us there tells us it's waning on people a bit.
Yeah.
Like, the big intrigue to go into the season was who's Negan going to kill. I'm not even up to date, and I knew all that.
Yeah.
And I know who he killed. Cheers, internet.
Yeah. I don't even watch it, I know, yeah.
Like, it lasted a few days of me going, oh, well, Walking Dead fans are clearly better than Game of Thrones fans, because it's been a few days of everyone talking about it, and I still don't know. And then the meme started, and that's how you learn.
And then a few weeks later, you could buy the Funko Pop figure.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like, oh, cheers.
You're like, okay.
Exactly,
yeah.
Yeah.
It's awful. So, it's really annoying.
I know. But it's frustrating.
Here's what it is.
I think I lost caring about... I will catch up with Walking Dead, but it's never been a series I avidly watch. I'd rather watch it in a chunk and then leave it. Just like reading the books, really.
Okay.
A bit. I just feel like I had my time with it where I really liked it, and I just don't feel the need to.
I don't know what it is.
I just don't feel like I'm obligated to.
Yeah. I tried three seasons and then... Yeah.
I don't know. We'll it might just be a time thing. Like, there's only so much time you have to shred good TV. There's loads of good TV I know I should be watching and just don't or can't.
Yeah.
It's just... hit the list and pray.
I just say Human Series 2, it's finished now in the UK. I think it's still going in the US of A.
Yeah.
Brilliant Series Good. 2. Absolutely.
Don't need to dig out the first series.
Don't doubt it. Would love to watch both when I'm going to. Fuck this.
I know. That's the
point. I said it about 6 feet under.
Yeah.
Mad Men.
Yeah.
I do it all the time. I'm like, oh, that's a show I should. And I don't.
Yeah.
Like Westworld, I managed to watch the first 3 episodes of it. But I was watching it with my girlfriend who lost interest.
I remember you saying
that. So the burden's now on me to continue it alone, which I'd happily do, but I can't find the time. Yeah. And I just know we're getting to that point, I'll just never will. Yeah. If I don't do it in the next 2 weeks, I never will.
That's the problem.
Yeah.
Too much good TV. Talking of good TV, season 1 started out as an R-rated send-up of Back to the Future and Doctor Who and continued on to become an intelligent, witty comedy sci-fi over the 2 seasons. We finally got an official confirmation and a little teaser of season 3 of Rick and Morty. Hurrah! The short teaser depicted a typical adventure for Rick and Morty in a Star Wars-esque adventure. Season 3 will premiere on Adult Swim sometime this year.
I love Rick and Morty. I feel like the world's catching up to it, especially now it's on Netflix in the UK, and it's just great.
It is
more of a good thing.
Yep,
never complain.
Definitely.
The other day, I got That's why they call me Slim Shady stuck in my head. But I had... That's why they call me Ian Brady. And I couldn't think of who Ian Brady was, so I was wandering around singing this song. And I've got to think, because I thought he was like, is he a news presenter? Is he a... It took up, and then I realised who the fucking was. Yeah. I was like, I'm an awful person.
Oh,
yeah.
God.
Yeah, it's yeah. not rapping.
It was a moment where I genuinely felt a little bit, like, awful. But then, how was I know? I thought it was... Mm. Ian Some Duncan sort of Smith, who's yeah. arguably worse. Carry on.
The movie so far in the DC Extended Universe has received mixed reviews and reactions so far, but Warner Brothers have announced that Harley Quinn, Margot Robbie, will headline her own film next in Gotham City Sirens, which will see her team up with David Ayer once again. He's since teased that Catwoman and Poison Ivy are top contenders to join the all-female-centric villain movie. Early rumours began with Megan Fox as Poison Ivy, which led to some fan art, and then also fan art of Emma Stone as Poison Ivy, Eliza Dushku as Catwoman, and... There's no real casting news, but people are speculating and photoshopping, and it's out there now. So, what do we think?
It's fair to say they've been mixed. I still think the best film's Man of Steel. Ironically,
I don't think we've talked about that, have we? Man of Steel.
No, I don't. Never.
No. Well,
this could be the year we discuss it.
Well, Man of Steel became my go-to. That's the controversial film, and then I feel Batman and Superman took that title and ran with it a bit. So I don't think we'll ever talk Man of Steel again. But
Suicide Squad, I thought was quite fun. If you want to do a Gotham City Sirens, I've read the comics. There's three volumes anyway, and I like it. So it's going to be better than the Birds of Prey TV series.
Oh god, that was terrible.
But yeah, I'm all for it because I'm going to be honest. I really enjoyed Suicide Squad. No, it's garish, bright, stupid DC universe, which Gotham City Sirens would fall straight into, and especially with that Harley Quinn, I'm all for it. And I hope it doesn't go to like I thought that Margot Robbie's Harley Quinn was. Quite spot on, but could have easily gone into a bit of, like, I don't know, a bad female representation of that, even of that character. Mm. I hope it just doesn't turn into a sexy film for sexiness, but I think David
Does
Ayer
she have to be a
that.
Good? Does she have to be a good representation?
I was not saying a good representation. She was a good representation of that character. I don't argue that point at all. She's not supposed to be a good representation for a woman.
She's a villain.
But it could be a bad I'm more on about a bad representation of Harley Quinn.
I know what you're saying.
There's an interesting image there of Emma Stone photoshopped us.
Oh, that's cool.
Poison Ivy.
I was a bit reluctant about a Harley Quinn spin-off because I don't doubt she's probably popular enough to do it, and Margot Robbie nailed it enough to maybe support it. But I just went, where are you going to go with that? Like you could do Mad Love, but you've touched an offer that in Suicide Squad, and do I want to watch Jared Leto in that? I'd rather see him rock up in the Batman Ben Affleck's one and just gun it out. And then this came out, and I just thought, yeah, that really works. My big worry is they'll put Harley Quinn front and centre of it. I'd like it to be more of a clicky Batman villain group.
Right.
Of Ivy and Catwoman and do something quite rebellious but empowering women. Because Suicide Squad had a lot of strong female characters. And you're kind of taking that and taking it to its logical conclusion with this one. I think it could work. It sounds weird. Like it's a film I can't imagine seeing before. There's so many things you could do with a DC pantheon and treasure chest that you think we're getting to a Gotham City Sirens film before this, that, and the other. But that's the world we live in. It's very weird, and I'll take it. I love it. Catwoman, you don't get much bigger female villains. Poison Ivy, you can redeem her. Harley Quinn's the most popular.
Yeah.
Together in the Batman universe. Paul Dini wrote some great stories that you own.
I think, the Gotham City Sirens.
And you could really flesh out Gotham in a way that you're not going to see in a Batman film. That could be cool. Lend itself open to cameos as well.
Nice. So we're in? We're sold?
Well, no, I'm watching it.
So hell yeah. We're there. Mark Zuckerberg, the man who bought us Facebook, is working on his own version of Iron Man's AI, Jarvis, using the tools that the developers have access to for Facebook. Morgan Freeman has been hired to voice the home version of the AI, which will allow users to play music, turn the lights on and off, open the gates through an app and Facebook Messenger, much like Amazon's Alexa and Alphabet's Google Home. The future is now.
It should
Morgan
be,
Freeman.
Should be Gordon Godfrey.
You reckon?
Yeah. Imagine. Imagine him shouting at you, you've got a message.
Without thinking of the right kind of, well, what I should say, who do you think, Morgan Freeman, most iconic character?
Well, it's God, isn't it?
It's it, isn't it? Like, it is God in Bruce Almighty's crappiest film. You just go there, don't you?
Yep.
He's done some great films. He's done all kinds of... Shawshank Redemption, you know? But between, you know, God.
But yeah. Between Shawshank, Lark, March of the Penguins, he's made a weird sort of...
Supporting cast member, isn't he?
But he's made like he is the narrator in the public consciousness. Like, if you think of a narrator, you weirdly go to Morgan Freeman, such as how big Shawshank became, and we've seen him do it in various other vehicles. That it does lend itself. I'd rather James Earl Jones. I'd rather like a whole list of people, but it does make a weird sense that I can't argue. I'd get Paul Bettany.
Well, that's what Robert Downey Jr. said. Jarvis, can I do it? And he said Paul Bettany and. And they've got Morgan Freeman eventually. So, but yeah, he's going to be in our homes.
But then when it
telling us to turning lights on and off.
But when it gains,
it's really weird to think
when it gains autonomy and sentience and it starts murdering us all. I don't want to be murdered by Morgan Freeman.
No, I know. That'd be weird.
Yeah,
you say that. You could also think love, because in her, he fell in love with Scarlett Johansson.
Yeah,
it could be Scarlett Johansson. Why not?
Yeah. Or,
I'd rather listen to that.
I'd buy
but
that.
Then it becomes creepy. Like, there's that, not creepy, but there's that people will lend a weird pseudo sexual thing to it, won't they? That you can't do with Morgan Freeman, I feel.
Speak for yourself. Morgan, tell me to turn the light off again.
Yeah, but you could have, like, Betty White. Like a loving grandma, like, oh, grandma, can you tell me where the nearest pizza is? 4 miles east. And you're like, oh, thanks, Gran.
Brian Blessed.
Oh, yeah.
Shouting at
this
you.
World, this world. There Sean is. Bean. But he dies after answering every question.
Who would you have?
Says, fuck off, do it yourself.
Nah, then. Pick up Matt, you tit.
Who would you have voicing your home AI? Let us know on Twitter.
It's just up road, you twazzock.
Do it this end.
That knows. Best known for his roles in Kevin Smith's Jersey Saga, Jason Mewes will make his directorial debut and also star in The Madness in the Method. In which he stars as a serial killer. The indie movie also stars Terry Hatcher, Vinnie Jones, Kevin Smith, Danny Trejo, Stan Lee, Dean Cain and Casper Van Dien, with many playing themselves. The film's set in an alternate universe where Kevin Smith is giving Mewes method acting lessons to be taken seriously by Hollywood, but he gets a bit too takes it a bit too seriously and goes slightly mad. Sounds interesting.
We're operating in a sort of...
The sigh, I liked it.
There's an audience that'll watch it, and if you put celebrities in a B-movie aesthetic slasher, it'll do better than a lot of earnest attempts. So, as a business decision, I can't argue it. However, I'm not having a go at him. I'm not. But he's a guy who's incredibly blessed to be friends with the right person. Yeah. And he shouldn't have ideas above his station in that regard, I feel like. But, you know.
And he's pretty much here today because of a certain
person. But, like, if Andrew got famous and I was known as his just stupid friend that he took around everywhere, I wouldn't let it hold me back from trying things I could do because I can. Do you know what I mean? So I guess I should just let him do it. Because it might even be good.
Yeah.
Might be better than yoga hoses. And then, like, who looks bad then?
I liked yoga hoses.
I've not seen it, but, like...
So yeah, good luck. I'll watch it. I'm sold.
I'd say I'll watch
there's
it.
Your
there you go. Me. I'm in.
I don't know. Live or not live. I'm not going to watch it. And if I do, it'll be an ironic, half-drunk way. So I guess I don't care.
You will watch it.
Yeah.
I probably will.
You will watch it.
I probably will end up watching it.
You'll watch it.
Spoilers for Decommend in 3 years' time.
The 40th President of the United States, Abraham Lincoln, could possibly be portrayed in an upcoming biopic by Nicolas Cage. This was one of the news stories. It's like all the headlines, and you click on it, and it's like, it's not actually news because it might not be happening.
You're portrayed on Nicolas Cage, betrayed, which would probably fit better.
Nicolas Cage playing Abraham Lincoln.
I was watching Snowden with Joseph Gordon-Levitt, Edward Snowden.
Yeah.
And Nick Cage is in it. And I just started giggling. And then Millie was going, what are you giggling at? And I just went, even in like quite serious films, he's kind of terrible. But in an enjoyable way. It's that, have you ever seen the Community episode? Abby's driving himself crazy trying to work out if Nicolas Cage is good or bad.
Yes.
It's because it's so true. He exists in this weird middle ground where he's neither and both.
It's true.
In everything.
Yeah.
To the point it just takes you out of things. Mm. But sometimes that's a blessing and sometimes it's a curse. So I might weirdly watch that.
I know.
But I also think it won't be good. But I also think I might like it.
I know.
I also think it'll be bad. But I think in a good way.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Exactly.
I could go mad thinking about Nicolas Cage.
Yeah. That Community episode does just sum it up.
It does. It's like the most perfect way to sum up someone
ever
presented.
Yeah.
Just so our listeners know, Ian Brady murdered children. I just.
He's been sitting on that. Shit, I need to get that out there.
American listeners might not know, you know?
Oh dear.
It's one of my songs was kind of controversial and I didn't realise.
Oh dear. And lastly, George Lucas is heading to the DC Universe, it's been revealed.
Fuck off.
Matt Angel of Grimm will portray a young version of the director in an upcoming mid-season premiere in Legends of Tomorrow. The episode titled Raiders of the Lost Art, where the time aberration means that George Lucas quit the film industry so that Star Wars and Raiders of the Lost Art were never made. It will air on January the 24th.
Oh, thank God. I thought you meant you were going to write some like DC comics and like, we're going to have to watch Claw Binks. Fly across the sky.
Incidentally, somebody's put a picture on that's online, and they reckon Jar Jar Binks is in Rogue One.
It's a photoshop, didn't it?
Was it? I wasn't sure. I saw it on Twitter the other day. You know, when you first wake up, when you go,
might be wrong. Pretty sure.
It's like a really cartoon light at the
moment. No, it's just kind of this shadow, like shadowy.
You just get distracted. This thing kind of flops its way across the background.
I did see a picture, and it was
it's like a slinky.
Do you know the big Gungan battle at the end of the Battle of Naboo in Phantom Menace, and they're chucking those like cartoon balls, and it's this like offensive cartoon character chucking a cartoon ball at some CGI nonsense, and it was a picture of that, and then next to Rogue One that looked like all practical and gritty, and they went, this is the same franchise. And I just giggled going, I know, but yeah, it feels whole in a way. Like, even the bad just feels part of it. Just made me laugh.
But yeah, Legends of Tomorrow, I don't know, I've not been watching
it. Yeah, they do
it,
shit like that.
I don't know.
I think it's gone really off-boil in the second season. It's all fucking wink references and annoying pseudo... Like, a character happening to be bisexual is good. Reminding me in jokes every 5 minutes is not good.
Okay.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Someone like... Being a young black superhero is good. Him overacting and pretending like he's got the weight of generations on his shoulder whenever he goes on to the past pisses me off. Because he's not underprivileged. He's like he grew up in 2016 Central City. He's all right, really.
Okay.
Honour the past by all means, but like, don't pretend like you're personally victimised.
Just a bad characterisation. I've not seen it.
But... It's just shit like that every week, and it's grating on me week on week. It's the worst of the DC show.
Okay. That's it.
That's all I got.
That's all we got. What are they? Ooh, can I? Can you indulge me for a second?
I do every time you come over.
Mean but true. So my mate, he was watching a subtitled show, I think it's called like Jail or something, I can't remember. And he went, oh, they've just done a swear word beginning with G and I can't think what it is because it's like blurred on the subtitles. And I went, so he's like, what swear word could that be beginning with G? So I googled swear words beginning with G.
Okay.
And then one of the top entries is this page, and I'll just casually read you without reaction all the swear words beginning with G.
Okay.
Gay. gay ass, gay Bob, gay Doe, gay fuck, gay fuckist, gay lord, gay tard, gay wad, gooch.
It's like wow. Slam poetry.
What the fuck is gay fuckist? When will it be used?
Wow, that's a, okay.
So, I like gay fuck.
Yeah, wow.
Okay.
Interesting list.
Gay doe.
Is a famous mind.
Next week on top five.
Gay one.
A few trailers I just wanted to mutter about.
Oh yeah, I don't know if I've watched any of them.
What trailers? Have I missed trailers?
There were some.
Well, there was an Attack on Titan one for Series 2.
Oh, yeah.
There was a Beast Titan.
What was that? Trailer, yeah?
Yeah, I saw pictures of the Beast Titan, but the trailer tried to go on, kept going, you don't live in this country!
Stop looking!
Fuck off!
Yeah, you're not allowed! You can't peek through this window, child! No!
I was like, oh, I just want to see new Titans!
Did you finish the series?
Yeah.
It's good, isn't it?
It's really good. I'm super psyched for these.
Did you see the twist at the end?
Oh, did I see it coming?
Yeah.
No, actually. Well,
I didn't actually. Then it becomes blindingly obvious, and you're like, oh well. Ah,
I guess they were. I guess I weren't quite looking for it at the same time. I don't know if it was like uber clever. I just weren't looking. But yeah, that's a good twist still. Cause
I think it masks it quite well.
Yeah.
You go, of course it was all along.
Because we're probably ruining it, but sometimes not knowing there's a twist is a twist in itself, isn't it? Because you're not looking.
Well, tough, it's been out ages. You should have watched it. You started it 4 times.
I have. I fell asleep.
Yeah, you're personifying the audience then.
I am. I fell asleep.
Oh, it's so good though.
I hear Cowboy Bebop is in its entirety on Netflix now as well.
Is it?
Everyone keeps going, watch it! I've had that
it's
for about 15
years.
Yeah,
it's meant to be good.
Go, watch it!
Wait, we're back to that time, money, convenience window of you can't watch everything though. No. You have to pick your battles or wait for calculated moments. Like Attack on Titan, that were years of people telling me it were good, and then just one day be like, I have nothing to do and it's looking me in the face.
Hooray!
And just being in the right mood, and then I love it now.
Mm.
So you just got to wait for that window sometimes.
Yes, you do.
Alien Covenant. I didn't
watch this one.
I didn't know there was a trailer.
No.
Yeah, that's a nice trailer. We'll talk about that another time. There's some more as well, but I figure you've not watched
Dunkirk them. Dunkirk looked interesting. I mean, we know the story. Christopher Nolan doing it looked pretty.
Nolan lent his hand to a war film. I'll watch it. It sounds interesting.
The Baywatch trailer actually looked quite amusing.
I didn't know that was out, and I'm not going to watch it.
Genuinely looked amusing.
It looks very much in the vein of Jump Street.
21 Jump Street, yeah. Right. It knows what it's doing. It's tongue in cheek. It's very silly. I'll watch it. It
I don't know.
Looked funny.
Put Zac Efron film, I'll watch it.
Yeah.
I never knew you felt that way.
No, actually, I find him genuinely quite funny.
He is.
More than anything.
He is good.
You're waiting for me to make another joke, aren't you?
No, I'm just letting everyone sit on that opinion for a bit.
Yeah. And Blade Runner 2049, which, again, I've not seen the original.
I've not seen the first 2048. So.
Hey!
Which is funny, because there probably are that many cats.
Definitely.
Anyway, let's. What time is it, Steve?
I've forgotten.
It's not been that long.
You know, it's time for this week. The geeks have spoken.
I genuinely thought you were going to say it's for the news, and I thought I'd gone mental. I'm sure we've done it. We've done it, right?
No, we did it.
Did you note down the little question that came through today?
I didn't know. I just brought my tablet, and I was just going to have a little. Go on. Have you got it?
Lukey Luke Piatnik. Yeah. Luke Piatnik said. Confectionery controversy. Toblerones now have less chocolate and Rose's chocolates are in odd space age pouches. Discuss.
I have not seen the Roses, but
I have. They're like
foily,
spacemen.
But I have seen the great Toblerone controversy. In a week where massive political things were happening that people should focus on, this is all that people talked about.
Mm.
Which tells everything about society to me.
Don't even think Toblerone's that nice a chocolate, to be honest.
Well.
I'm not a big chocolate eater, though.
It's true. It's true.
I like Toblerone.
Eat off Zac Efron stuff.
Toblerone's the kind of chocolate, though. I don't know if it's just me. You never buy yourself. but you're happy when you're given it. Like, I would never go to the shop now and buy a Toblerone, but if you got me a Toblerone, I'd be very happy.
You buy them at you buy them at airports.
Do you?
Because they're big, yeah. You get the really big, you get the really big ones. I think they're always cheap. Yeah.
Well,
there's
like
a,
just
an airport
triangle
duty
ones.
Free.
It's like a flat triangle. You see those ones?
Jen, brought something brighter at Jen Tidders.
Mm-hmm.
Followed Luke's one on by saying, and the ice cream is apparently homosexual.
Yeah.
Now, this is actually a point.
This was a controversial point made by...
What, ice cream is homosexual?
But have you heard about this?
No.
Have you not?
We're in the fantastic programme The Grand Tour,
mm-hmm.
hosted by Jeremy Clarkson and James May and Richard... Richard Hammond, in the oh-so-funny...
Don't care what they say.
Kind of made the insinuation that a man, a grown man who eats ice cream is gay.
Yeah.
I don't understand it, personally. But this leads me to another point on it. I have before been a Top Gear apologist. I think
I thought you
grew
said
up
gay
with
man.
It. involved Zac Efron, innit? I have been a apologist before because I think I grew up with it. And I heard people going, ah, oh, you're a bastard. It almost got to the point when... someone would come in and I'd be watching Top Gear and it was like someone walked in on you wanking because you were a bit ashamed that you were watching it. And I was thinking, they don't deserve this kind of... And
they
then
do.
Now I've grown a little bit older and wiser, I'm kind of going, especially this one. I don't know if this is bad writing or what, because I have watched a few of the Grand Tour and they're awful.
Hmm?
They're like, I mean, BBC, there was the camaraderie which kept people going. Everyone mentions, you can't deny, it is one of the biggest exports BBC have ever had, and it was well scripted and was funny, and the camaraderie was, and then they said something stupid.
Mm-hmm.
Now the Grand Tour is awfully scripted, the skits are all really false. Just giving these guys an allowance to make this kind of stupid comment, which is stupid and childish and immature, and people are arguing that that's why it's fine. It's actually just a bit not very nice, and
it's mean spirited. I don't think it's three men being silly. It's three men saying what they believe,
and
what they believe is abhorrent.
That's it. Yeah. I think now I'm finding I've heard that mask from the veil of my youth growing up and just having these three silly men being silly. You actually see that. I'm not going to say they're the worst men in the world, this, that, and the other. But you give them a if you give them a podium to be, because you like Top Gear.
I used to watch. I grew up watching it. Yeah.
But when you just say this kind of stuff, which are kind of being,
it's just
I don't even understand that joke either.
Yeah, no, actually, it doesn't make any sense.
I've hated them with pride for many years now.
It's just bizarre.
So I'm glad if people come to the senses. I just despise them and everyone who likes them.
Well, I like them, so do you despise me?
I did, for a while there. But now you're seeing
them. I mean, honestly, each their own. It's just, I think when you give an allowance for that kind of thing, it's not very...
I do get what people probably see in it. And I don't think people get their ideologies or political things from people they watch on TV. So there's a lot of people who disagree with them if they had a political chat or... But they find them funny prattling around with your car. I get it. I feel like I can't support them in any way because I find them that horrible.
The dangerous or weird thing about it is I don't think it's actually an active, nasty thing. It's ignorance.
You know, it is. Yeah.
It's just ignorant viewpoints which shouldn't be celebrated. So that's the kind of, if you were sat in a circle of your friends and one of them said something slightly bigoted, you'd actually turn and go, actually, mate. But then they're just being put on a podium for people who think that kind of thing is fine. Anyway, I'm getting a bit deep into it. It doesn't really matter. It was a stupidly bad.
But they almost but they almost glorify ignorance. Like if you called them up on it, they would not apologise for their ignorance. They'd think their ignorance was right because they're white British men and everything's whatever. Which is why I despise them.
So yeah, that was our questions. Thank you, Jen and Luke.
Yeah, the Tom and Joe Show at the Tom and Joe Show. I have to say,
Tom and Joe were on ABH talking after the Donald Trump election, and actually genuinely really funny.
Cool
and really informative.
Cool.
They said, "Who is the most evil Disney villain in an animated film?"
They discussed this on their show.
Yeah, I was going to say they've recorded that episode, but
I would say. Oh.
Oh god, I was just going to say, Danny Mac at Danny Mac 25 says, Cruella, she skins puppies, which kind of sucks.
I answered them as well.
Wait, to fucking nick my answer before I said it, Steve.
Scar kills his brother, I think I said, and that's pretty bad. Ursula has a load of souls trapped in her house, and that is freaky.
True, but Scar does it for power, whereas Cruella de Vil wants to murder 100 puppies for vanity.
I'm sure if you want to get into this deeper, to listen to the Tom and Joe show. I haven't listened to that one yet. I will. But yeah, it's a good discussion point. Thank you, Dan Mack, as well.
Yeah, thank you.
But are they the only contender? I'm sure there's worse villains. Maleficent's a bitch.
But she had a nice movie where she was Angelina Jolie. She's really a troubled soul.
I don't know. Pondering now.
Jafar's pretty repellent.
I don't know what he does.
It's very like insidious, like working around the Sultan and then takes over. And there's a hint of perviness toward Jasmine. And
I want to be like you. I watched Jungle Book.
Did you enjoy it?
Yes, I did. I did indeed.
Shere Khan will be up there actually, but then is he just a tiger being a tiger?
I agree. Idris Elba, he did a good
job. Oh, he's amazing.
Yeah.
Really felt it when he does that thing. Ooh.
How fucking good is Christopher Walken's?
They must have mocapped his face, and the intenseness in his eyes was brilliant.
Yeah,
really good.
And the little boy to hold that on his shoulders—that's really good. I even like Bill Murray Bear.
Yeah.
Bill Murray Bear.
He's genuinely a really fun watchable.
And, the Panther as well. All the characters are just really good.
It's better than the original. I genuinely think that.
I honestly think so. Well, and actually, it gave me a lot of faith about that Lion King one. I can see how they can do it. And
yeah, definitely. Yeah. Yeah. Although I just want more music in that one, like proper music. Like in this one, they put the clever way around and just did a couple of songs. But
more music.
I feel like you can't have Lion King without the music.
Lee Mullen at Leroy B says, a late one, but futuristic sci-fi tech that's happening now. # AskWGS. So futuristic sci-fi is now happening.
I still like sometimes glance around and I look at everyone on their phones and tablets and smoking their e-cigarettes and go, wow, this is futureness.
Do you know everyone has those smart watches and Apple watches, iWatches, whatever?
Yeah.
I grew up watching Dick Tracy, and it just blows my mind that I can do that now. I can Skype you and have my face there.
It's
I don't know why, because it's not even that, from today's standpoint, that is not impressive technology, but it's just weird to think back to a time you thought that was impressive. Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Like, well, and now, the fact that we're going to have Morgan Freeman in our homes. What?
Well, tricorders as well. In Star Trek, we used to scan and do things and give you information a handheld. We've got that.
Yeah.
In Home Alone 2, I used to love the fucking, what's it called now? Walk Boy.
Oh, the voice recorder.
Credit card, you got it. Yeah. I was obsessed with it and I actually got one. And I could do that on my phone. It's not even impressive. You just slow anything down.
I'm sure he was looking for more. They were looking for more deep answers than that, but we're just going, things that we use right now. If you actually think, wow.
I mean, look at virtual reality. Look at
cars that now can park themselves for you. You know?
My mate's just bought the Batman fucking VR game where he's, for all intents and purposes, he's fucking Batman.
Oh, have you played it?
I haven't, in a game, he's Batman.
He's fucking Batman.
Yeah, so that's the joy of the game.
Playing that cape.
Yeah, we all get to be Catwoman for a
What's
day.
What's under the cowl?
Holding on to those ears.
Yeah.
Holding back the ears.
But if they want a projection of future technology, I'm still convinced by we'll have a ring on our little finger.
Okay.
And a ring on our thumb.
Yeah.
And then that'll be the new phone. And we all do the phone sign.
Whoa, okay.
And just talk.
Why don't you just have something in your ear and something in your mouth?
Because that is not as cool. You don't use the international symbol for phones.
But that's suddenly hands-free, not hands-free.
No, but do you not think it'd be cool to be like, yo?
Yeah, I'm just, sorry. No, I think
I'd rather be like, yo, how's it going?
Just washing my hands.
Maybe not then.
I don't know.
I quite like the. Have you seen In Time, when time is currency, and they've got it on the wrists. No. That, how much? The whole thing is time's currency. So if you're poor, you live by the hour. Oh, sort of thing, okay. And you work for more time, and when you run out of time, you're dead. And it's just like a really thinly veiled metaphor for poverty.
Okay.
So like people who are really rich are going to live for like 82 million years, and then they pay people in years and shit. I always like that, but it's actual money. So like your credit card's just in your wrist, so and you're just like, yeah. Everywhere you go, you never need money because you're just always just scanned. And,
yeah,
but you are literally carrying around your worth.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not saying that I'm looking forward to that. I just feel it'll get to that.
It's going
to
happen.
At some point.
Embedded in you, a chip. Yeah. Lee was also upset that there was no BoJack in the voting thing, but we haven't seen it. And Kimberly Kenobi, at Kimberly Kenobi, says, best animated series of the year was BoJack Horseman, by the way.
A lot. Unfortunately, what we haven't seen, we can't put forward.
Sadly.
But there are lots of recommendations, I'm sure.
So in my mind, BoJack is the space pirate trapped in King Kai's planet that Gohan destroys in an off-canon movie after the Cell Saga.
Right. Okay. I don't know what else to say.
So if you want to tell me he's a horseman now, I'm just confused.
Alrighty.
I watched a few BoJack Horseman. Yeah. I thought it looked good, but we didn't watch enough for it to comment. And I don't even think if it was released this year. Is it just on Netflix this year?
I think it just came on Netflix, yeah.
So yeah, we have to watch the entire season.
Yeah.
None of us did.
Yeah. Something Brighter at Jen Tidders read WGS News as WGS Newts and said, can you give me some news on newts?
No, but I could give you a newt story.
Is it newt suitable for work?
A couple of facts about newts.
Have you really?
Go on.
I think there are two kinds of newts in Britain. There's the common newt and the crested newt.
There is, the great crested newt.
The great crested newt's rarer, yep. And it's larger. But I used to go out with
my... What is happening here?
Just not talking about Batman.
But people know about Batman. You're preaching about newts.
And the people wanted it. So listen, so
one person wanted it as a joke.
I used to go out with my net, with my father, and we spent many an hour around the boating lake in Millhouses Park, little boating.
Oh, it's a nice
because
little
it was
park.
Quite a breeding little area for newts. So I used to take my little net and I used to catch male and female newts, and the males had a lovely coloration, they had a crest as well.
Yeah.
But then they were a dark brown or a lighter brown. A lot of the females were a lighter shade of brown. And once I took a bucket of them into school for people to see, and then I released them back into my pond. So we have newts in our pond.
Oh, nice.
So that is there you go. This week's
your
instalment
newt,
of
newt news.
I had no idea of your newt past.
There we are.
That was all new to me. I thought you had newt facts.
I've got a couple of little facts. Yeah, I didn't know.
Oh, cool!
That they have the amazing ability to regenerate limbs, eyes, hearts, intestines,
like
and jaws.
Piccolo.
They can regenerate.
Like Piccolo.
What the fuck?
Who is also green.
You have to translate it in terms I can relate to.
All right. The great crested newt is Britain's largest amphibian.
Large, like
they can live up to 15
Godzilla.
Years.
15 years?
Yeah.
Like... Is that the gap of the Star Wars film? Yeah. You have to translate it in terms I will care about.
And they hibernate during winter.
Like bears.
Like bears. Yeah, that's right.
I prefer newts to frogs and toads.
I
don't like frogs and toads.
I'd go along with that. If I had to pick it... They are amphibians, aren't they, newts?
Yeah.
If I had to pick an amphibian... I would go a newt, maybe.
Yeah, it's pretty cute.
Is a salamander a amphibian?
I believe so.
Yeah, yeah.
Someone will go, no, it's in the rocks in the or something.
And then I'll go, good for you for knowing that. Well, I've never cared.
Well, you did, because next week we'll be bringing on
Newt. We will.
This is going to turn out to no more geeks.
Newt facts.
None of this geeky shit.
Newt facts.
It's all about amphibs now.
Oh, yeah.
Amphibs.
With a Z.
And once a month we'll do, like, lizards people think are amphibians.
Yeah.
In our jazzy section.
Oh, 2017, guys.
Wow, it's all looking up.
We're mixing it up already. Yeah. Dave at Wilbro Jr. 36 says, Rogue One 8 out of 10, a worthy prequel.
Three-word review.
Remember,
you can review any film that you want to review in just three simple words. Just text in. Or don't, because you don't have a number. Just tweet us, for God's sake.
I'd be freaked out if you all started texting me, actually. I'd be like, have you got my number?
Who are you?
Why?
They don't even tell you the film.
No, it's always just, I have to guess from there.
Hayden and Chris is in shit. Well, I know what that one is.
Well, it could be Jumper. It could be anything he's ever been in. What happened to him?
Do you know what?
Where is he?
Do you know what Jumper was called in America? Sweater.
Hey!
Hey!
Oh dear.
Anymore? You know what a Pokemon trainer's called in America, don't you?
What?
Pokemon sneakers.
That sounds like Pokemon sneaker. Jumps into a fight and he hides in the bushes. And he'd have all like big nosed Pokemon.
Yeah.
Superfan Robbie Polanco at Robbie_Polanco. Time After Time sounds like
time
a winner.
Time After Time.
I'll add it to my list. He's going back through the old episodes.
That was good. That was our last recommendee. There'll be another one next week. The first one of the year.
Predators, a double recommend.
Yeah, Predator's awesome.
It is good.
I decommended it.
I know, I'm not over it.
Robbie liked Zootopia, great family film.
It is good.
I know Batman Superman has flaws, but I can't call it a bad film. The same goes for Suicide Squad.
It's because they're not bad films.
No.
I truly believe.
Batman vs. Superman. I find it hard to argue when someone says it's a bad film because there's elements that are quite bad.
Mm.
Suicide Squad, I think, is great.
I really enjoy
Batman vs. Superman, overall, I enjoyed.
I think it's more messy and impregnable for people. But I don't think that automatically makes it bad. But you'd struggle to call it good in the face of that.
Yeah.
So I don't think either's bad. And I would argue that for that. But I can't argue convincingly they're good if you don't find it good. If that makes a weird sense. I know it sounds like semantics, but there's a very definite line in my head.
And Robbie did a three-word review of Reanimator. Scientists play God. 10 out of 10.
Actually, wow, it's really high, that.
Yeah.
I actually love that film.
What would you give it?
Schlocky. I would give it an 8. You've got a poster of Reanimator.
I have. Glow in the Dark one.
I haven't seen Bride of Reanimator, but I have seen Beyond Reanimator.
I've seen, yeah.
So. Is that the one after Bride?
Yeah.
Were you just lost?
I just got one gifted to me. Ryan Yuzna. Is that it?
That's it, yeah. Thanks for all your tweets.
We're back next week with a recommend decommend and the return of Bumple Goose.
What?
Talking of
Bumpy Goose, your t-shirt.
Yeah, I'm going to show you that later on next week's episode, but you spoilt that as well.
Just like spoilt Christmas and New Year. What date's next week?
Next week is, what, in general, the whole week?
The next week of this recording. The 9th, that's my birthday, he's going to ruin that too.
It is your birthday. I'm going to ruin that because I won't be there. Not that you were inviting me anywhere anyway.
But
you can find us on iTunes. You can go on twitter.com/weeklyeatspeak to follow us and see what you can. Rambling on about. Steve sometimes tweets and pictures.
We're on
and
Instagram.
You can find Instagram and Facebook. And Scott's sliding away for a cigarette. Awards thing. 2 weeks' time we'll be doing
guess.
That. Okay.
Guess. Who am I?
Deirdre Barlow.
Yeah! Hey! Yeah! Put a tea on, Ken!